in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Think of all his benefits, think of his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness, his tender mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We give you the glory, we give you the praise. So boras diba ragate gebosh. We give you the sacrifice of our praise, our worship, our lives. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You are welcome to day what? Day what? Day 8, this is the second and the last week of our 14-day mid-year mega harvest fast. Welcome to day 8. You might be seated in God's presence. Can we just come to the middle row? Those of you by the sides, can we just come? Let's occupy the middle row first. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. New King James Version. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. We started a powerful teaching series on the power of priestly sacrifices. The power of priestly sacrifices. Today we'll be looking at part what? Part what? Part 5, right? We talked about the sacrifices that we offer unto God as priests. We say we are priests of God. The day you got born again, you were initiated into the priesthood of God after the order of Melchizedek. He has made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign on earth. And our priestly ministry precedes and determines our kingly function. Okay? So the source and secret of our kingly authority, kingly dominion, kingly power by which we rule and reign on earth is actually our priesthood. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, you also as living stones. The church is a building. The house of God is a building. And the building block are made up of believers. The Bible says you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So you and I constitute the stones, living stones, the building block used to build up the spiritual house of God. Am I communicating? And he said the function of this spiritual house, which is a holy priesthood, is to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. There is no priesthood without a system of sacrifice. Am I communicating? Even demonic priesthood have systems of what? Sacrifice unto Satan and devils. Okay? He says, you also as living stones are being built up, you are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Then give me verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood means a kingdom of priests. A king priest. We are priests after the order of Melchizedek, just like Jesus was called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we said the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek preceded both the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament and the Aaronic priesthood. Am I communicating? The oldest priesthood is the one after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a type and a shadow of Jesus. Melchizedek was a Christophany. Christophany simply means special appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Okay, you know, Melchizedek was a type of Christ in the Old Testament that met Abraham when Abraham returned from the slaughter of the kings. And then Abraham honored him with a tithe. That was the first record of somebody giving God tithe in the Bible. It was Abraham. And Abraham was a prophet. And prophets have revelation. He tithed not based on the law of Moses. His tithing was prompted by what? Revelation. Praise God. It was based on revelation. Glory to God. So, we are called priests after the order of Melchizedek. It's an unending priesthood system. We are a kingdom of priests. That was what God had always wanted, right from the Old Testament. We saw it in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Don't go there. You see how God wanted the children of Israel, those to whom he gave the first covenant, his covenant people, to be a kingdom of priests. He said if they will obey his commandment, he will make them a kingdom of priests. That was the will of God. But thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus, with which he cut the new covenant, of which we are part of. Am I communicating? And we are also the beneficiary of. We are the product of it. We are the beneficiary. And because we are in Christ, we are also in covenant. Am I communicating? And now, the good news is that God has made us a kingdom of priests. That's why he says you are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. You are special. Stop looking down on yourself. You are not a trash. You are special. You worth the life and blood of Jesus. He said that ye should shew forth, look at our assignment, to shew forth, to showcase the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So your life should bring praise to God. These people have I formed for myself that you may shew forth my praise. You were created to showcase the glory of God, to show forth the praises of God. I know under Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, by him therefore let us what? Offer unto what? By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By Jesus, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, making confession to his name. Am I communicating? So anytime you are giving God thanks, you are offering sacrifice of praise. Am I communicating? Very important. It's part of our priesthood. Is part of our priesthood. This was the first spiritual sacrifice we offer as priests that we looked at, right? In the part one of this teaching. The sacrifice of our praise and worship, right? Then the second one, next verse, verse 16. Then we talked about the sacrifice, but to do good and communicate, forget not. If you look at it, give me an amplified. Now communicate is not talking of conversation, okay? Not talking of talk. You understand? No. It's talking of giving. Okay? Giving. Okay, he said, do not forget or neglect to do kind and good. Doing good, doing kind. To be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy. You see, so you get a picture now. So when he said communicate, he's actually talking of the giving ministry. Hallelujah. So we said our giving offerings, giving sowing seed, giving towards the gospel, giving of all categories, giving to the poor and needy, giving to the anointed, prophet offering, all of that, they are spiritual. Giving is spiritual. Giving is an act of worship. We say worship is incomplete without giving an offering to God. Am I communicating? So we saw that giving our money, materials, substance, giving of our substance is a part and parcel of the spiritual sacrifices that we offer unto God in our priesthood. Am I communicating? Now go back. Give me King James Version. As you can see, King James, he says, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That's to tell you that what you are giving is a sacrifice. It's part of the sacrifices of priesthood. Next verse. Obey them that have rule over you, submit yourself, for they watch over your soul, as they that must give account, that they must do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. We spoke extensively about this, that submission, obedience and submission, okay? Obedience and submission is, in fact, this is a peak of your priesthood sacrifices. Obedience and submission. We say submission to God. Submission, how do you submit to God? You submit to God by submitting to the authority of His word. You submit to God by submitting to the authority, the lordship of the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the lordship of Him. You submit to God, number three, by submitting to constituted authority, both spiritual authorities over you, secular authorities, parental authority, marital authority. Are you getting me? We looked at this in details. Praise God. We said the ultimate sacrifice you must put on the altar is your life. You lay down your will. Lo, I have come in the volume of the book that is written to do thy will, O God. We say it's easy to offer all the other forms of sacrifice when you've already offered the sacrifice of your life. Okay, when in complete surrender, total yieldedness, complete consecration. Am I communicating? Total surrenderedness, total obedience to the will of God. You just become an instrument in the hand of God. Father, do with me as you will. All that I am, all that I have is for you. Use me for your glory. Then verse 18. We looked at the, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. So, we talk about the sacrifice of your prayers and intercession, right? So, today, we'll look at the fifth one, which is the last one for this teaching series. Tomorrow, we'll start another thing all entirely. Praise God. I won't tell you. You'll find out tomorrow. Now, the power of priestly sacrifice, part 5. Romans 15:16. What's the fifth spiritual sacrifice we offer unto God as priests? Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Ministering the gospel of God. Ministering the gospel of God. That the offering up of the Gentiles. The offering up. So that's priesthood. You are offering up of the Gentiles. The Gentiles talked about the unsaved world. Offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Being sanctified. By what? The Holy Ghost. Give me in NIV, New International Version. NIV. NIV. He says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty. Can it be clearer than this? Can you see that it's part of our priesthood, part of priestly duty? To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of what? Proclaiming the gospel of God. In other words, preaching the gospel, proclaiming it, is a part of our priestly duty. Am I communicating? With the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering. The souls you win as you preach the gospel is part of the offering, the spiritual sacrifice, an offering you render to God, you offer to God in priesthood. Am I communicating? As a priest of God. It says, the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Give me in Message translation. The Message Bible. It says, this priestly and gospel work of serving the spiritual needs of the non-Jewish outsider so that they can be presented as an acceptable offering to God, made whole and holy by God's Holy Spirit. Then Amplified version. It says, in making me a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, I act in the priestly service of the gospel, the good news of God, in order that the sacrificial offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable. So, part of the sacrifice that we offer in our priesthood is the souls we win to Christ. We preach the gospel, we win souls to Christ. So, the fifth spiritual sacrifice we offer to God as priests of God is the sacrifice of soul winning. The sacrifice of soul winning. We preach the gospel, we win those souls, then we offer them to God. In fact, this is a major secret of power in priesthood, authority and power. You know, in the occult, in the world of the occult, the more people you initiate, you bring into the cult, and they are initiated and they become cult members, the more they promote you. Am I lying? Yes. Your promotion in the occultic world is tied to how many people you invited and brought, and then they initiated into the cult. The more you bring, the more they promote you. Are you seeing that? It's a principle Satan stole from the kingdom. The more people you preach to and the more souls you win into the kingdom, the more God promotes you in terms of authority and the power, the anointing. Go and check. The people walking in the greatest dimension of the anointing, they are heavyweight soul winners. Go and see. In fact, there are some dimensions of God's authority and power you will never see nor walk in, except you are an ardent, addicted, committed soul winner. Because soul winning is the heartbeat of God. So God will not entrust some level of authority and power to a non-soul winner, even though he loves you. No matter how much you pray and fast, if you are not committed to soul winning, then of what use will be the anointing? Acts 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Witnessing is talking about soul winning, reaching out to the lost. Am I communicating? Preaching the gospel to draw sinners to Christ. So, in other words, the purpose
of the coming of the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is to make you an effective witness. So what will now be the use of the power if you are not a soul winner? Are you getting this? La disco fratilla gabadia. Is it Benny Hinn? Is it Renard Bonke? Is it Pastor Ye Adeboye? Is it Bishop Oyedepo? Almost, is it Pastor Chris? Any great man of God you see walking in dangerous dimension of the anointing, the power of God, moving in that realm, just there is one common denominator to all of them. They are committed to soul winning. That's the truth. They are passionate about the gospel. Are you getting me? Very, in fact, that's the greatest passion of their life. Maliko Barakataya. The sacrifice of soul winning. The souls that you win, you offer them to God as a sacrifice. Even in this period of fasting, how many souls have you won? You see, when we are fasting, it's usually a special time of separation from the world, separation from everything that distracts. You are abstaining from food, you are abstaining from pleasurable activities. You are separating yourself from all those things so that you can fully concentrate and seek the Lord. You can seek the Lord in prayers. You seek the Lord in His Word. You feed on His Word. And then as you seek the Lord, there is no way you will seek the Lord that God... And you see, watch this. When you seek the Lord and you are intimate with Him, what burdens His heart will start burdening your own heart. And what is God's heartbeat? Souls. And then He will tell you to go and win the lost. He will tell you to go and preach. So you see that winning souls, soul winning, preaching the gospel, winning the lost souls, is part of this fasting exercise that many people are neglecting. Very important. When you are intimate with God, the burdens of His heart will be downloaded into your own heart too. Praise God. The things burdening His heart will start bothering your heart. His passion will become your passion. Am I communicating? His heartbeat will become your heartbeat. Kilo barakata. Hope you know that soul winning is God's number one business. God is a businessman. He trades in souls. He doesn't trade crypto. God doesn't trade forex. He doesn't do the business that we are doing. The kind of business God does is soul winning. Soul winning is God's number one job. Is His number one business. He's a businessman. And His profit is in souls. Am I communicating? Mali kobo sapalataya. Embresko tequila barakatia. The primary purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth is to win souls into the kingdom. That's the primary purpose. Irrespective of the vision of the church, as in the various denomination and non-denominational ministries, whatever their vision is, no matter their calling, there is one common assignment that all churches, denomination, non-denominational ministries, they have one common purpose, which is what? To win souls. It's a common denominator. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
and bring forth the fruit of souls into the kingdom. Praise God. So if we are not winning souls, we are not fulfilling our primary mandate. It's a primary mission of the church on earth. Have you ever asked yourself, why didn't God kill you the day you got born again? Why didn't God kill you? He didn't kill you and take you to heaven. He left you on earth. Why? Because there is a mandate, there is an assignment, there is a mission. You are saved to save others. God reconciled you to himself so that you will become his agent of reconciling sinners and the lost world to himself. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Am I communicating? To reconcile sinners back to him. To reconcile the lost. God saved you to save others. Let me tell your neighbor, God saved you by his grace, so that you will become a channel by which he is going to save others. Yes, he wants to use you to reach out to the sinners around you. God wants to use you as a channel to bless others with the gospel. Though some of us, there are people in our schools, in our department, in our classes, that you know these people are unsaved. You need to reach out to them. There are people in your workplace, your colleagues, that you need to reach out to with the gospel. There are people in your business partners, your customers, that you need to preach to. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Am I communicating? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. There is no option. Let me tell you something. There is no alternative to the gospel of Christ when it comes to the salvation of this world. The gospel is the only hope of this world. In Acts chapter 4 verse 12, give me that scripture. It says, neither is there salvation in any other name. There is no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Sometimes we preach this gospel as if there is an alternative. Is there any other alternative? Talk to me. Is there any other way God can save this world outside of the gospel of Christ and the name of Jesus? Who paid the price for the salvation of the world? Whose blood was shed? Jesus, with his own blood, with his own life. There is no alternative. This is the only gospel that can save the world. The salvation is found only in the name of Jesus. Some of us, our family members are not saved, and you are not preaching to them. Will you be happy if they die and go to hell, or if the rapture happens and then they end up in hell and then lake of fire, and you are spending eternity with Jesus, and you are seeing your family members roasting in lake of fire, tormented forever and ever and ever and ever, all without end? You can't afford to be quiet. You need to reach out to them with the gospel. Am I communicating? This is very important. The soul of human being is the most important thing in the whole world. In fact, the soul of man is the most valuable and the most expensive thing on earth. It's even more expensive than this world. The souls of the human being on earth is far more important and more expensive, more valuable than this whole world and all the wealth in the world put together. In fact, the soul of the most wretched human being on earth is more expensive than everything on earth put together. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is why Satan is smart. This is why Satan is all out for the souls of men. It doesn't matter what it will take him to get them. The devil is ready to invest everything else to win the souls of men, so that they will end up spending their eternity with him in hellfire. No, lake of fire. Because even hellfire is a
transit camp. But the Bible says hell and death shall be cast into lake of fire. The devil knows. So he uses the weapon of deception to steal, kill, and destroy human souls. You see. People mortgage their soul just for peanuts that Satan will give them. The devil knows that he will be the winner at the end of the day. How much money can Satan give a human being in exchange for the soul of the human being? It's not even all the monies in the world the devil can give him. And yet, people will go and join cult, do money ritual, all manner of things. Satan deceives them. At the end, he wins their souls. Then they spend eternity with him. And then it will be too late then. When they die, they will now realize they were foolish. It's not worth the bargain. Satan just deceived them. Because their soul is worth more than everything the devil gave them in exchange. Am I communicating? There is no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. My father's name cannot save me. There is no salvation in Muhammad. There is no salvation in Buddha. Is there any name else? That's why I said there is no alternative to this gospel. There is no alternative. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is only found in the name of Jesus. It must become our number one job. Give me Mark chapter 8 verse 36. Mark chapter 8 verse 36. Mark chapter 8 verse 26. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Can you see that? Can you see that? In other words, the soul is worth more than everything in the world. Next verse. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I weep, I cry anytime I see Christian ladies marrying Muslim men. What a slap. What an insult. And more importantly, I weep for their soul. Because they don't know that that's part of the strategy Islam uses for their own evangelism. They have told their men, marry Christian ladies. Those people are mumu, marry them. And when you marry them, you have children. Those children will be Muslim. And then over time, convert her to Islam. After all, she is your wife. Force her. How many Christians have converted, Christian ladies have converted to Islam that way? So many. But the reverse is not the case. You will never see, a Muslim lady marry a Christian man. Have you seen any like that? The ladies know that it is taboo, is forbidden. Who will you even mention that one to? Is it her father? They will kill her. Her head is gone. She can't even think it. In fact, she can't even shake Christian brother. She can't shake you. It's forbidden. They will never do that. But you will see foolish Christian ladies marry Muslim because of money. You lose your soul because of money. As if husbands are finished in the world. Even if Christian husbands are finished, it's better to stay unmarried and make heaven than to go and marry a Muslim man and lose your soul at the end. Because they will force you to renounce Islam later. Sorry, to renounce Christianity. They will do that. What do they call it? Wanka word self. There's this. What do they call it? To convert a Christian to Muslim. Wanka what? Wanka something. And they will force the lady to make her to renounce Christ. And that's the unpardonable sin that the Bible talks about. It's renouncing Christ too. That's sinning against the Holy Ghost, that there is no forgiveness. It's renouncing Christ. You can't be saved again. Once you renounce your Jesus, you have lost your salvation. You are doomed. You can't be saved again. Impossible. That's what the Bible says. So they force them to renounce Christ. They make them renounce Christ. Then they will now bait them, give them that thing. They will now drink. They are now Muslim. You see them wearing, is it hijab? They will now wear hijab. And I do, Allah. You have lost your Zion. The thing they pain me, which kind of thing is this? Because of marriage, even if men are finished, Christians are finished, Christian born again men are finished, stay unmarried and go to heaven. Don't lose your salvation because of marriage. Am I communicating? You will never see Christian Muslim ladies doing that, marrying a non-Muslim. Impossible. But you see Christian ladies marrying Muslims. There are some of you that you know some maybe friends or sisters or somebody, family member or relation, that are dating Muslim men. You better warn them. This is your salvation that is at stake. Forget these material things of this world. Your salvation is at stake. If they do that, let me not complete it. You already know. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. I say nothing. Nothing. There is nothing that is good exchange for your soul in this earth. Nothing. Praise God. Luke chapter 15 verse 3. You need to understand that nothing brings more joy to the heart of God the Father and the angels in heaven. Nothing brings more joy to heaven than when a soul comes to Christ. How much more? 2. How much more? 3. How much more? 4. How much more? Multitudes of souls. Imagine the kind of celebration in heaven. The kind of joy. You see, you need to understand things that have eternal value. On earth, our value system, some of us, our value system, because of the influence of the world, is upside down. For instance, if one soul get born again, how many people celebrate? Let's be frank. How many people celebrate? But just buy private jets, you will see the celebration. Even your village people will come and greet you. He's our illustrious son. We know him. You start receiving phone call. You don't know me. I'm that your uncle, the uncle to your father's brother on your sister's, your mother's side. Everybody will start calling you. You don't know me. I was the one that used to carry you now when you were small. Your mother used to go to market. It's me now. This is your auntie. She didn't tell you about. You understand? There will be so much joy and celebration everywhere. It don't hammer. If $100 trillion enters your account, we'll have to tie you. Because you may go and you may jump from because of the joy and excitement. We need to tie you small and beat you a bit. So that the overjoy will not make you to go and do something stupid. You understand, some of you? But one soul gave his life to Christ. No celebration. No joy. But the Bible says that is what brings joy to heaven. You buy private, well, material things mean nothing to the spirit beings. Spirit, demons, all those, it doesn't mean anything to them. Angels, it doesn't mean anything to them. But win one soul, come and see the anger, the fury in the kingdom of darkness. And the kind of joy and celebration it brings to heaven. Are you getting me? So we need to change our thinking and our value system. Honestly, you need to start rejoicing over whatever is making heaven to rejoice. You need to start putting appropriate value to the souls for whom Jesus died. What this? Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And what happened when he find it? And when he had found it, he lay it on his shoulder, rejoicing. The joy of a soul winner. If you don't win souls, you won't understand this thing called the joy of a soul winner. Nothing will bring more joy to your heart than when you are a true soul winner. Honestly, some people are happier when money enters their account than when they win souls. That shows something is wrong with your value system. Next verse. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors. He's even throwing a party. Hey! See the celebration. Saying unto them, rejoice with me. You see, he's not the only one rejoicing. His neighbors and friends, he threw a party. He says, I got back this soul that I lost. For I have found the sheep which was lost. Then, verse 7, this is where I'm going. I say unto you, this is Jesus, that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. How many things brings joy to heaven? All through the Bible. Read your Bible. How many have you read that brings joy to heaven? Soul winning. For every soul, you are bringing so much joy to heaven. Heaven's attention is on you. The spotlight is usually on you. That's why I say God takes care of the welfare of a true soul winner. Because you attract heavenly reward. The attention of heaven. In fact, God begins to sponsor you when you are a committed and a serious soul winner. Put your money. You see, like I said, listen, money on its own means nothing to angelic beings and to God. But when you carry that money and put it into the gospel and then use it to win souls, now you are talking. Now you are talking. That's why God said, my city shall through prosperity be spread abroad. You see, the purpose why God wants his children to prosper, kingdom financial prosperity has a different purpose from the prosperity of the world or the prosperity of the wicked. Because everybody wants money on planet Earth. There's nobody that doesn't want money. The difference is why, the motif. For us, it's primarily because of the gospel, the kingdom. Am I communicating? But for the people of the world, that's not their purpose. The one is, I want blow. The one blow. I, me, and myself. They get all they can. They can all they have gotten. And then they sit on the can and wait until they die. I, me, and myself. Like that rich fool Jesus talked about. Are you getting me? That's not our own way. That's not our own way. We don't act that way. Are you getting me? Make up your mind to be big for the gospel. They say you cannot carry money to heaven. We We brought nothing into this world. Have you ever seen a baby born with money, dollars in his hand, as he's coming out of his mother's? Have you seen? I'm a doctor. I've been catching baby in labor wards. I've never seen any baby born with dollars or pounds or money wrapped around his neck. You understand? None. We brought nothing into this world, and it is sure that we're what? Taking nothing out. No matter how rich or wealthy a man is, can he carry his money away from this world as he's dying? You understand? I hear some foolish people, they bury some wealthy billionaires with car, with Rolls Royce, with gold, with money. It will waste, or it will even attract armed robbers. Definitely, people will come. Except they put security there. I'm telling you, they will come and steal it later. It's his body. His body will remain. His spirit has checked out, headed for heaven or hell. Are you getting me? He can't carry his money along. Impossible. In the realm of the spirit, those things don't mean anything. Are you getting me? But here is the wisdom. Since you know you can't carry money or material things away from this world, why don't you invest the money in something of eternal value that you can carry to heaven? You can present the souls you win before Jesus for reward. Because there is a crown for soul winners. I'm going to show you in the Bible. Every soul winner will get a crown. For every soul you win, there is a crown for you. If you don't win souls, you think we'll be the same in heaven? No. No. God, see, there is a system of reward. Some will get more reward, some will get less reward, some will get zero reward. But all of us have made heaven. So since you know you can't carry money to heaven, why don't you put it into the gospel? Invest it in soul winning. So that you carry the souls to heaven. Am I communicating? That's the wisdom there. Yes, God wants, listen, I've taught you during Kingdom Finance that it is the will of God for you to have money and plenty of it for the right purpose. But it is not God's will for money to have you. Am I communicating? Now, God wants you to have money because of the gospel. So that you can invest it into the gospel. God wants you to have money so that you will be comfortable. You can take care of your basic need, take care of your family, so that you can service the need of suffering humanity, the poor, orphans, widows, the needy. Be a blessing to them. If you are poor, you can't be a blessing to them now. Are you getting me? He wants you to have a voice. The voice of the poor believer will not be heard. You need money gives you influence, okay? The voice of a poor preacher cannot be heard. You can't even go on air. You can't even afford the necessary platform to release and preach the gospel in unmatchable dimension. All these things require money. You now see why God wants us to have money. So the money is not an end in itself. It's only a means to an end to fulfill God's purposes. But unfortunately, some Christians are behaving like the people of the world. The guy was praying and fasting. Oh, Papa God, give me breakthrough. Oh, Lord, see my situation. See my condition. I don't suffer. If I suffer, now my name now. So God finally answered his prayer and pity him. God said, okay, let me test him with 10 million. The business, boom, big breakthrough, 10 million. The guy, he stopped coming for prayer meeting. He stopped coming to church. He started to pursue women, anything on trouser, anything on skirt, different color. I don't blow. Go buy car. Drive him to terminus. Stand on top. Say, God punish you, now, father. I don't hammer. You understand? That's the believer that was crying yesterday. Now, God has given him just a. Meanwhile, God planned billions for him. God said, let me test him with just 10 million. Now he has failed the test. Now, the money itself is threatening his salvation. Because today, he carry mommy water spirit. Tomorrow, he carry that one. Next tomorrow, different color and sizes and shape is carrying them. Is that the purpose why God blessed him? Talk to me. Even the gospel is 1 naira. If I was 1 naira, 1 kobo has not entered. His wife is now complaining and praying to God that God should drain all his money. God should revert him back to that poor condition he was before. Because his eyes cannot see women again. The wife is tired. He's sleeping around with almost every woman. You don't know. There are women that are praying for God to make their husband poor. Because the money has turned their husbands into womanizers. They fly to UK today. They have side chick there. Tomorrow, they fly. They send a business trip. Canada. They have like 12 different chicks in Canada. In different locations. Almost any location they go, they have a side chick there. That is chopping their money. They are sleeping with. So the wife is tired. Is that how some men have carried HIV and given their wives? They are innocent wives. You collect from this one, collect from that one, collect from that one, collect. Including sexually transmitted demons plus HIV. Oh, now the wife is the victim. The wife says, oh God, collect this man money back. Praise God. So you understand that soul winning. Give me Luke chapter 10 verse 17. It brings so much joy to the heart of the soul winner, brings so much joy to the heart of the believer that wins souls, to the heart of the of God in heaven, to the heart of what? The angels in heaven. It brings so much joy to heaven, including Jesus. Okay, let's start from verse 1, because this is like the report they gave after those crusades. The 70, after these things, the Lord Jesus appointed other 70 also. How many people did he appoint? And he sent them 2 by 2 in before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Look at this. Jesus wanted to hold 35 crusades. 35 crusades in 35 cities. Do the mathematics now. He sent them 2 by 2. That's 35 groups, right? Sets of twos. Into every city. That means they enter into how many cities? 35. So Jesus held 35 crusades. Imagine the money involved, the monetary value. He sent them ahead before he later went. Now, let's see their report when they came back. Verse 17, you get the picture now. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Wow. They returned with joy. They went and preached the gospel, got so many people saved, and they were full of joy, the joy of soul winning, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Wow. And then jump to verse 21, because of time. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. Why was Jesus rejoicing? The souls. Can you see? Soul winning brought joy to heaven. Soul winning brought joy to the heart of Jesus. Are you surprised that Jesus did not even rejoice when all manner of miracles happened? Have you studied your Bible? Did you notice that? Not because he didn't like it, but the only time we read in the Bible that Jesus rejoiced in the spirit was when souls were won. That's to tell you the priority of the Father. Because even the miracle is not an end in itself,
the healing is not an end in itself, it's a means to an end. It's a means to advertise the gospel, to draw people to Christ so that people will accept Jesus and receive salvation. So, miracles and the miraculous is not for show. It's not for self-aggrandizement. It's not for self-promotion. No, 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 no. It's not an end in itself. The miracle ministry of Jesus is a means to an end, to draw people to God so that they will be saved. In that same hour, give me in Amplified, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Father, I thank thee, O Lord of heaven and earth. Glory to God. In that same, Jesus rejoiced and gloried in the Holy Spirit. Can you shout amen? Give me Message translation. Message translation. Mando sovarakatiza brahatea. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced, exuberant in the Holy Ghost. Hi. Jesus danced in the Spirit. Ooh. He celebrated with so much joy and excitement. This is the only time we read during his earth walk that such a thing happened. Did you notice that? That's to tell you the priority of soul winning. I told you there is a special crown reserved for only soul winners. Give me 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Not all of us that we make heaven, that we go to heaven, we have crowns. Not all of us. It's only soul winners that we have crowns. And the number of crowns is proportional to the souls you win. In fact, the kind of crown, the number, depends on how many souls you won to Christ on earth. Praise God. For what is our hope? Paul is asking. Or our joy. Or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He's asking them. He said, in other words, you at the presence of Jesus that is coming, you are the what? Our hope, you are our joy, and you are our crown of rejoicing. So the souls you win, remember the church in Thessalonica, the believers there, they were Paul's convert. He led them to Christ, right? Before he planted the church. He was the one that led them to Christ. He said, you are my crown of rejoicing. You are our crown of rejoicing. We present you before Jesus at his coming. Give me Philippians 4 verse 1. Soul winner's crown. May you never lose that crown. Philippians 4 verse 1. Philippians 4 verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy. Can you see that? My joy and crown. My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So Paul is saying that the believers in Philippi, in the church there in Philippi, they are his joy and they are his crown. They are the souls he won to Christ. Remember, he was the one that preached to them, him and his team, and then they got born again, right? So those souls are his crown. That's what he's saying. You are my joy, you are my crown. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, women are a very special set of people. They are blessed. You know, when Jesus, listen, the number one partners with Jesus' ministry were women. Luke chapter 8 verse 2 and 3. They were women. Women supported Jesus' ministry even more than men. With the exception of Joseph of Arimathea. It was even after Jesus had died. That one was a secret disciple. That was when he showed up. The Bible said there were women. Jesus had impacted their lives. Then verse 3. It says they ministered unto him of their substance. In other words, they were his financial partners. Okay? And then, do you know that when Jesus resurrected, the first person to see him was a woman, Mary Magdalene. And then he told her to go and tell others. It's just that when she went to tell the other disciples where they were gathered, they didn't believe her. Her word sounded like idle tale. Because the Jewish culture is like this Islam, the way Islam treats women. You know, women, they don't really... You understand? They don't really value them that much in Islam. That's why even where they worship, men and women don't mix. Men worship in the real mosques. And the women, either behind or outside. The Jews too are somewhere like that. They don't, if you see them mention the name of a woman, there is something special about the woman, even in the Bible. That's the Jewish culture. So a woman coming to give that kind of important information that Jesus had resurrected, Mary Magdalene, they didn't believe her. That was why Peter and John went. It was when they came back and told them, they believed that one more. But it was a woman that what? First heard. And have you ever asked yourself, why did God do that? Why did Jesus appear first to a woman and not to a man? It's because women can talk. And if they can talk, they can preach. They have mouth, verbal power. Now, many women don't know why God gave them that verbal power. It's because of the gospel. Women speak more words in a day than men. That's why, as a married man, you can never win argument against your wife. You're, just allow her win. You understand? You can't win. You talk one, they talk 10. You talk two, they talk 50. So when will you catch up? You understand? But it's just that the devil have deceived some women. They are not using the mouth to fulfill the purpose that God gave them, that mouth power, verbal power. God gave them to preach the gospel. But Satan is making them to use it to gossip. If you can gossip, you can preach the gospel. I say if you can gossip, you can preach the gospel. They will see with their friends, gossip for 1 hour, 2 hours. Food is on the fire. Food even got burnt. They were gossiping. It was the smell of the burning food. Hey, I put something for fire. They are forgotten. Now, why don't you consider using that ability to preach? Am I communicating? Use it to preach the gospel. Reach out to the people in your world, your sphere of contact. Praise God. Some of us, we know how to convince people to come for our birthday party or celebration. We know, but if you can convince people to come for your birthday, you can convince them to accept Jesus. You can convince them to accept the gospel. If you can win them to come over for your party, you can win them to Christ. Why don't you preach the gospel with the same passion with which you invite people to party, invite people for your anniversary? If you can convince people to buy your business, to patronize your business, to patronize your goods and service, you can convince them to accept the gospel and get saved. But it's just that we are passionate about those ones. We are not passionate about souls. That's the problem. If you can convince... Can you remember those investment business networking? That is, you go higher by bringing more people. You win souls to come and join. I've done it before. When I was in medical school, I did it all. And I made money. I cashed out before the thing later crashed. You know, usually latecomers are suffer. Because it is like a pyramid. All this Ponzi scheme is like a pyramid. It's those that came early that will benefit the most. All the latecomers, they will lose. Everybody will cash in on their head.
And the best time to cash out is when everybody is rushing in. I've done that thing before. They deceived us. I did it. I didn't know. But I was so passionate. Ah, me alone, I convinced more than 10 people to join. You won't try me. As I be marketo, I got 10 like this. Now so all the people, all the souls I want to join the networking business, they were pushing me up. So I was going up. So I would sit down, they see a lot. You understand? I recovered my money plus extra plus extra plus extra. Then I cashed out later before the thing crashed. Many of us are doing networking business. We convince people to join. Now, why don't you use the same passion and energy to win people to Christ? You do it because of the financial benefit, just like me. Why don't you think of all the benefit of soul winning that God is going to reward you with and let it move you? You know, those days when I'm convincing people to join, I don't take no for an answer. I don't give up on them. They tell me no, I will give them reason why they should join. I will be persistent. I will keep pursuing them. I will knock them, visit their house. They'll pursue me, I'll come back again. With the tenacity of a bulldog until I convince them they join. How many of us can do that for the gospel? Have you ever preached and they slapped you? Even if you preach and they slap you, it's still not a reason to give up on the person. Have you preached, they pour you hot water? If they pour you hot water and you are preaching, nothing will happen. You will not be burnt. Say you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. Is it hot water that will burn? No. Are they even persecuting you that you are not preaching? The gospel is spreading. See, the countries, two countries that the gospel is spreading the most all across the world, Iraq, or is it Iran? Iran and China. These two countries are countries that is illegal to preach the gospel. And yet, that is where the gospel is spreading the fastest in the world. So much persecution, but the fire burning in the believers was so much that they preach everywhere. Are you getting me? Heavily persecuted, yet the gospel is spreading like wildfire. But look at areas that there is no persecution. The church is like cold water. Believers don't even want to preach. Who is persecuting you that you are not preaching? Even in nations that they are killing them for preaching, even carry Bible, they kill them, yet they are still preaching with passion. You need to repent. We'll soon pray. Our time is fast spent. Rise to your feet. We'll pray. You are going to pray, Father, let passion for souls, let it envelop me. I can't be quiet, oh. I cannot afford to be quiet. Souls are dying, headed for godless eternity in their numbers. The number of saved people across the world, they are in their billions, hope you know. They are in their billions. How can we be quiet? No. When we have, you see all these terrorist group, Boko Haram, you see Al-Shabaab, you see ISIS, you see Al-Qaeda. What's the name of those ones that bomb World Trade Center? September 11. What's the name of that terrorist group? 9-11. Is it? That Osama bin Laden is part of. Have you forgotten? Al-Qaeda. You see them passionate about their cause that you and I know that is not of God. It's not right. But you see their passion. Somebody, an Islamic terrorist, can strap bomb around himself and or herself, because women even do it with hijab. Strap bomb and agree to die with others for a cause that you and I know that is a lie. But you and I, we have the real thing. Am I communicating? The gospel of Christ, the only way for people to be saved. But we are not passionate about our cause. How many of us are ready to die for the gospel? Kalido Bakata, you are going to cry out, Father, enough of this complacency. Rekindle the fire of passion for souls. How can I be quiet?
Look at the people around me. Look at my workplace, my family, my neighborhood, my community. So many unsaved people, lost souls there. How can I be silent about this thing? Something is wrong. No. I should not be silent. What about the people I work with? My classmates, those in my department, in my faculty, in my school that are unsaved. And I know that these people are headed for hell. If I don't preach to them, I refuse to be silent. My business partners, my customers that patronize my goods and service, I refuse to be silent. I need to reach out to them with the gospel. Father, rekindle the fire of passion. The passion for souls. Kalido Barakatai. Imprecate. Those my family members that need to be saved must be saved. Father, fresh fire. The fire of evangelism. The fire of soul meaning. Let it engulf my heart. Let it engulf my heart. Let it engulf my heart. Rakido sepelete. Let the passion for souls come alive. Let it come alive. Let it come alive. Let it come alive. The Bible says the people shall be willing in the days of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. Thou art the womb of the money. Give me Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There is no scarcity of harvest of souls. There is scarcity of all laborers to go into the harvest field of the world and reap the harvest. The issue is with the laborers. There is no issue with the harvest of souls. So listen, Jesus said, don't say they are yet 4 months and then come at the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and see. The field is already white for harvest. In other words, it's harvest time. The field is the world. The field is the world. The world is the mission field. Am I communicating? Jesus said the harvest is plenty. It's a mega harvest of souls. The issue is scarcity of laborers. Even the few laborers are not willing. That's why he said, pray ye. They are occupied with plenty other things. Soul winning is not a priority to them. They are more serious about making money than they are about winning souls. They are more serious about their job and every other thing. They don't think about the business of the kingdom. They've forgotten why God gave them the job in the first place. They don't know that their job is a platform to win souls. Their business is a platform to win souls. It's not just to make money. They've forgotten that their career, their job, their business, everything God blessed them with, including the money, they are tools, they are platforms in order to be effective soul winners. They are distracted by this world. He says, next verse. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. We are going to be praying to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And listen, you and I, we are part of those laborers. We must become willing and ready. We must become obedient to our master's instruction. He said we should go ye to all the world. Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. Your world are those in your sphere of contact, those in your sphere of influence, that they make up your world. Am I communicating? He said the people shall be willing in the day of thy power. It is the power of God that makes you willing. He says, pray ye the Lord of
of the Abdai will send forth. That word send forth, is a Greek word ekbalo. It means to push out. It connotes the use of force and violence. Why? Because the laborers don't want to do the thing. They are not willing, they are reluctant. The laborers, they like their comfort zone. They are not running with the mandate of heaven. You are going to lift up your voice. Father, release grace, release power, release fire for soul winning. Oh yes, make us willing soul winners. Make us passionate soul winners. Ladiko barakatai, embreketekete, beginning with us. Send forth laborers. Send forth laborers. Force out laborers. Labakido brakataya. Into the harvest field. Radeko poleke barakatos. Brakatose pelenesa. Jelebonde ikraska. Epeletoni ila barakatos. Sabrande kepa. Shakabakata brakatai. In the name of Jesus.
You see, soul winning begins with intercessory prayer for the souls that you want to go and harvest. You have to pray for them first. You have to start on your knees. You have to pray and intercede. What are you praying for? And I will tell you, but before then, you need to know the kind of prayer that you must pray to see souls saved. Is called traveling prayer. Soul travail is a traveling. You know, last festival of fire, I taught on agonizomai. That's the kind of prayer to bet souls into this kingdom. Eh? You are like the mother that is pregnant, that is carrying that baby as a pregnancy. You have to go into the labor room. You have to bet that souls. You go through that labor pain. Galatians 4:19, Paul said, my little children, for whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. In other words, the word again means he had travailed before for them to come to Christ, for them to be saved. And if you check the Amplified, that travail, that's the kind of prayer that bed souls, is bed pangs, as in labor pain. You pray until Ayagabatuzevreketeya. You start feeling lost yourself because the Holy Ghost will bring you into the experience that the lost is in. He will put you in their shoes. Am I communicating? Until the compassion of Jesus starts flowing in your heart. You start feeling as if you too are lost. You cry to God. It's a traveling kind of prayer, like a woman giving birth. You are not ashamed. Have you seen a woman ashamed in labor ward that is in labor? The last thing on her mind is, as in, who is thinking of her nakedness? She wants to push out the baby. That's the only one point agenda. You are going to travel. This is a kind of prayer. Ayagabalata. As if you are suffering bed pangs. It's traveling prayer that begs souls. What are you praying for? Number one, you are praying for God to open their heart, so that they will be receptive and responsive to the gospel that you preach, or the gospel they will hear. For God to open their heart. It's the Holy Spirit that opens people's heart. You are praying. Number two, for God to cure them from that demonic blindfold. Because the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them. There is a spiritual blindness every unsaved person or sinner is suffering from. So you are praying for God to remove that demonic blindfold, for the light of the gospel to shine upon their heart. What are you praying for? You are praying for opportunities, for the Holy Ghost to arrange opportunities, to bring opportunities your way to win souls, to preach the gospel. For the Holy Ghost to orchestrate, and angels to orchestrate opportunities for you to preach the gospel to the lost, to win souls. What are you praying for? You are praying for God to give you boldness and utterance.
boldness and utterance to preach the gospel. Because so many people are shy and timid. They are afraid to preach. They are timid. You need boldness. The boldness of the Spirit. You are praying for boldness and then utterance for the Holy Ghost to give you the right words. Vocal emission, the right words to speak a word in season to him that is weary. What are you praying for? You are praying for the Holy Ghost to give you wisdom. The wisdom to preach the gospel, to speak the right word. Am I communicating? To communicate it as you ought. What are you praying for? You are praying for the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. For supernatural confirmation of the gospel with miracle signs and wonders. You are praying for manifestation, demonstrations of the Spirit and power, the type that cannot be denied. Am I communicating? Because signs and wonders are the greatest tool for marketing the gospel. These are things you pray for. Mark 16:20, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with supernatural signs and wonders. I want you to lift up your voice. It's when you have prayed like this, you can and then get the note of victory, prevail in the spirit, you can now physically go and reach out to them and then reap the harvest of souls into the kingdom. And then you pray again for their establishment, for them to be rooted, grounded and settled in Christ. Lift up your voice. Kalipora Sapata Imbrekete Barakatai Brendo Sefila Patetoda. This is a very important part of our priestly duty, our priestly ministry, our priestly responsibility. Lakindo Sefelete Embrekete Labakatonia Amboro Sepeletia Rokopokoto Prokoto. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you. Thank you.